Hey guys, welcome to Reengage. We are so glad you're here. Thank you for entrusting your Wednesday night with us. Do you know what the top three things are that people argue about, especially when they're married? Front row said money, third row said sex. Can I hear this side? Anybody this side? Anybody this side? Communication, right? There's sex, communication, and money. Yeah, kids. I mean, we could stay here all night, couldn't we? The top three, and one of the top three on my honeymoon, my husband and I ripped into it a good one. We were in the most beautiful place ever God ever created in the mountains of Durango, and I decided on day two of the honeymoon, I was going to be in charge of money. And I would tell him how much he could spend, when and where, and that I would handle all things financial. And you can imagine how that went over. Not very well. And so, man, it is just with a joy tonight that we have a special guest with us, Ethan Pope, who's going to come and talk about one of those three things. And so would you please give it up for Ethan Pope?
Thank you, Susan. Well, good evening. I hope that they told you that this is going to be the fun night. Honored to be here. Thankful for the Reengage team and all the awesome group leaders. Just a few family pictures. I've been married to my best friend, Janet, for 36 years. And in August, our son, Austin, asked Allie to marry him, and she said yes. And then on February the 10th, I did the wedding ceremony for Austin and Allie. And now our family is a family of 10. We have Janet, Austin and Allie, our daughter Natalie, her husband Scott, and their four sweet, sweet girls, Carrington, Campbell, Catherine, and Camille. Now let me take you back 36 years to June 15th, 1982. We had just returned from our honeymoon, and Janet said, "Let's go grocery shopping." And I'm thinking, awesome. First trip to the grocery store, romantic trip to the grocery store. We hop in the car, we get to the grocery store, we're holding hands, walking up to the grocery store. And then as we walk through those big two glass doors as they open, everything that I had envisioned just breaks down. We literally go up and down every aisle in the store. The top of the cart is overflowing. The bottom is full. We go up to the checkout counter, and she rings it all up, and the total is $169.11. And you're thinking, well, big deal. So what? May I remind you that these are $1,982. And if you only inflate that at 2.5% for 36 years, that's like spending $401.33 on your first trip to the grocery store. As I was writing the check out, the checkout girl had never seen a grown man crying in line before. Janet and I walked to the car. We were not holding hands. We loaded up all the things into the car, got home, unloaded all the groceries, and then I began thinking to myself, the honeymoon's over. Welcome to married life. Now, I don't save everything. I live a very simplistic life. But when the bank sent me that canceled check back in 1982, for some reason, I stuck it in an envelope, and I found it many years ago. So this is the original check to Menards for $169.11. And if you turn it a little bit to the side, I actually think you can see some teardrop stains on that check. And then for some reason, I actually put the receipt for our first trip to the grocery store in that same envelope. It's 147 items, and at the very bottom it says, "Thank you, have a nice day." And I'm thinking, yeah, you almost destroyed my marriage. So that's how our financial journey began. And I'm here to help your story be different, whether you've been married for 3 months or maybe for 30 years. And in the next few minutes, I'm going to give you a 30,000-foot view of what I call financial foundations, helping you build a better marriage. Now, foundation number one is this. Understand that there are two types of people in the world today. They're savers and they're spenders. And about 80% of the time, they usually end up marrying each other. Now, we're going to do a quick survey in the room tonight. Now, I'm going to say this. Everyone must participate. You cannot say, well, I'm perfect. I'm a good saver and a spender, and I'm right in the middle. No, everyone has a bent in one direction. So everyone must participate. So declare, I want to see your hands. I want to see the hands of, and this includes group leaders and people on staff too. If you are a saver, if that's your leaning, raise your hand. If you're a saver, keep them up. All right. All right. Spenders, let's see your hands. All right. Now, here's where it gets fun. Now, I want couples who are the saver-spender combination to raise your hands. Saver-spender, that's about 80% as I look out across the room. Now, there's one word that describes you as a couple. Best. It is a gift. You have a gift because a spender desperately needs to live with a saver and to learn from that spouse. And a saver desperately needs to live with that spender and to learn from your spouse. So it is a gift. All right, spender-spender couples. Let's see your hands. Spender-spender couples. You need prayer. There's one word that typically, but not always, describes you as a couple. Broke. But you can change. God radically changes lives. All right, saver-saver couples. Let's see your hands. Get them up. Hold them up high so everybody can see you. Wave to everybody. All right. I'm going to pray for you even more. There's one word that typically describes you as a couple. Boring. All they do is go to work every day. And they come home and they tell their spouse how much money they did not spend by eating lunch out with their friends. And then they sit around on Saturday nights reconciling bank statements, and they actually enjoy the process. All right. Hold all the emails. We're just trying to have a little fun. All right. Financial foundation number two. The two become one. Matthew 19:6 says, so there are no longer two, but one flesh. Now, physically, we've got that down. We understand the two become one physically. No problem understanding that. That's also true financially, but I'm not so sure if we fully understand that concept. Bank accounts become one. Debt becomes one. Cars become one. Investments become one. Ownership of a business becomes one. What you own, what you owe, and what you earn is not mine, it's not yours, but it's ours. Let me give you one example. In financial ministry, we deal with a lot of student loans. And I teach couples, do not say he or she has $50,000 in school loans. But say, we have $50,000 in school loans. Now, maybe your name is not on the paperwork, but you live, you think, and you act like it's ours. The two become one. Financial foundation number three. Understand your spouse's core values. You see, each spouse will bring into a marriage the good, the garbage, and a set of core values. And whether you acknowledge it or not, each of you already have a set of core values that you operate on, and you have an established system of beliefs. You know what creates conflict in a marriage? It's very simple. Two people living in the same house, to start with differing core values and differing priorities. And the more that I worked on understanding and accepting my wife, her values, honoring and cherishing her, the less arguments we had. Financial foundation number four. Develop a plan. Develop what some people call a budget. I call it a money map. After several months of frustration in our marriage over finances, Janet came to me and she said, "Ethan, I think we need a budget." And I said, "I think you're right." And we put one together and it radically changed our marriage. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty." Now look at the obvious. Plans lead to advantage. No plans lead to disadvantage. Why would anyone want to choose that path? Now, I've got a couple of charts I'm going to put on the screen, and I believe this is how couples look without a spending plan. Spending is up, debt typically increases, waste increases, stress level increases, energy level is extremely low, giving is low, savings are down or minimal or nothing, and just the complication of life increases. There's no real direction in that financial life. But I believe that couples with a spending plan look something like this. Spending is either stabilized or decreases most of the time. Debt goes down, waste decreases, stress level is way down, energy increases, giving increases, savings increase, and just the complication of life decreases. Why is that true? Well, you're maximizing every dollar. In 1985, I created a system that was originally called the MAP. Later, it came into what's called the money map. And the concept is that every dollar needs to have a predetermined destination. So think about every dollar having a predetermined destination. Now, I've been involved in financial ministry for 30 years. And during those years, I've trained thousands of individuals. And I sat across the table from singles and couples, tears in their eyes, bondage, stress, many of them close to a crisis. And 95% of the time, I can track the problem back to one thing. One thing. They'd never taken the time to develop and to use a spending plan. And if I could take, my 30 years of all the emotions of what I've seen and experienced, and if I could transfer those to you right now, and if you currently do not have a spending plan or a money map, I guarantee you that you would get up right now and you would run out that back door and you would begin working on one immediately. Financial foundation number five. Communication is critical. Consistent. And I don't mean once a year or once every 5 years. Consistent communication is critical for a growing marriage. And even after 36 years, Janet and I must be intentional in this area. I remember one of our first arguments early in marriage. I don't know what it was about. It was probably about finances. And so I left the room, and Janet followed me into the room. I left that room, and I went into another room, and she followed me into the room. And I turned around, and I said, "Janet, what are you doing?" And I remember it as if it were yesterday. It's so clear. She said, "Ethan, I'm trying to solve a problem." And I'm so thankful that she taught me how to communicate early in our marriage, because my tendency then and would be today, if I had not changed, was simply to want to ignore the problem and just hope that one day it would go away. Foundation number 6, decrease your debt. So much to say, but too little time. Here's the way I view it. Increased ongoing debt increases stress in a marriage and drives couples into isolation and many times leads to divorce. Decrease the debt, get rid of the debt. Financial foundation number 7, increase your generosity. You see, generosity is more of an issue of the heart than giving a set percentage of your income. Here's the principle. It comes in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must give as he has made up his mind or purposed, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Financial foundation number 8. Be on guard against lifestyle creep. Don't let the world determine your lifestyle. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may know what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." You know, it's because of that, that's why every morning, early every morning, I'm out walking, literally every day. In one pocket, I have my prayer book that I'm faithfully praying for people every morning. In my other pocket, I have a stack of 3x5 cards where I'm memorizing, meditating on scripture. I have to be letting my mind be transformed by God's word. Now, Janet is out there with me, but she's about 20 to 30 yards ahead of me memorizing scripture. Now, I memorize verses and passages. She memorizes entire books of the Bible. But she's right there with me every morning we're out walking. So here's the warning. Be on guard against lifestyle creep. This is when you let your lifestyle and your expenses automatically increase as your income increases. Now, for 30 years, I've known couples that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars and they cannot pay their bills. Now, I know that's kind of hard for some people to understand. There's only one way that can happen, and that's through lifestyle creep. So make an intentional decision not to fall into that trap as a couple. And if you're already in that trap, get out. It only leads to spiritual, financial, and marriage destruction. I promise you, it will not end well. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice may be compared to the wise man that built his house upon the rock. The rain descended, the floods came in, the winds blew, and it burst against the house, but yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. Yet, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice may be compared to the fool that built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came in, the winds blew, and they burst against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You see, there are too many couples that are building their marriages and their financial houses on the shifting sands and the unbiblical philosophy of the world. And they need to begin putting into practice biblical principles. I want to close by saying this. When Janet and I were engaged, we decided on a couple of verses that would be our life verses. We talked about them. We memorized them. We had them engraved, the reference engraved inside our wedding band, and it's Romans 14, 7 and 8. And this is what they say. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Be all in as you manage your finances and apply biblical principles. Live for Christ. Life is a gift. Spend it well. Spend it well. It's been an honor for me to be here with you tonight. God bless you and thank you. Announce the Money Wise class.
We'll do it. Thank you.
It's on the screen.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I couldn't keep up with them. So if you want to be able to listen to this talk again, you can go to our website because we did record it and you can have a chance to listen through some of the principles that he taught. So well done. And I know if my husband were standing up here with me tonight, we would be the first to tell you, have a plan. I mean, and here's the cool thing about money is it's not yours. Isn't that great? Every good gift comes from the Lord. It's God's. And when you work and you get the paycheck and you deposit it, we hope that you'll see this from the Lord's perspective of, hey, that is something he has given you to provide for your family and to pay the bills and to put up a savings plan and a spending plan and a giving plan. Colossians 1:17. If I ever get a tattoo, it's going to be that one. For he is above all things, and in him all things come together. And so, man, Ethan gave you some great principles tonight. We talk a lot about emotional intimacy, spiritual intimacy, physical intimacy, and re-engage. Well, tonight was a message on financial intimacy. And so we pray that you guys have taken notes and you'll put into practice. Now, we want you to know about a class that's starting September 6th. We run, Ethan runs, a ministry called MoneyWise. And this is a class that if you and your spouse would like to take a deeper dive and be able to sit in a small group and help come up with a plan to how to look at your finances and get you on a path that will put you at saving versus spending and get you in a place of financial health, our church would love to help you do that. So check out MoneyWise. You can go to watermark.org, check out the registration site. It's called MoneyWise, starts September 6th. We are so glad that you're here with us tonight. And in just a moment, we're going to break and go a lot of different directions. And so for those of you that are here for the very first time, we would like for you to come sit down my right, your left, and take part of a class called Newcomers Orientation, where we will show you a video, we'll help answer any questions that you might have about what it looks like to take the next step and reengage. If you've already been to Newcomers and you're waiting to get placed into a closed group, we're going to ask that you go go to one of our open groups. Tonight we're running four, 208, 210, 211, 212, 207, if Spanish is your native language. These rooms can be found outside these doors. Take a right, go across the skywalk. You'll see the re-engage signage. Walk in any one of those classrooms and jump into the open group process. We are excited to let you know that we are starting three new groups tonight. So yeah, give it up. Definitely. So the team Iaramendi, which is our reengage, our comprometirse in Spanish, you guys will be in room 124, which is out these doors over the right. Go downstairs in the West Tower. You guys will be meeting on the first floor West Tower. The other two groups are the Camos and the Stewarts. You guys will be in rooms 11 and 3. Those rooms can be found right outside these doors. Take a right, then a left. You'll see the numbers above the doorway. And we do want you to know that we are not meeting July 4th. It falls on a Wednesday this year. So we're letting you guys know in advance that there will not be a re-engage, that not. We want you to spend some time celebrating that time with your family. Again, we're glad you're here tonight. Let's have a great night pursuing oneness. Let's go get it.